Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Happy 4th of July. I'm actually on a little bit of vacation right now. I'm out at Lake Chelan in central Washington. It's really beautiful. We were invited, some friends of ours have a house on the lake. We're staying a little bit away from the lake, but things are always happening and things that I think are very relevant to our life of faith. And I'm going to discuss those things today. Back in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and I thank you and praise you, Lord, for the ways that you love us and take care of us. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of being an American, for the gift of being alive in this country at this time. And Lord, I ask that for each of us and for all of us that we would be able to truly seek to honor you with our lives, to praise you for the good things that you have given to us. And give us the grace, Lord, to appreciate, to sense with hearts full of gratitude and wonder and awe who you are and all that you've done for us and what you have destined for us. Who you are, all that you've done for us, and what you've destined for us. Each of those things, Lord, so meaningful. You are a glorious, loving, faithful God who rules and reigns over all. You're infinite. You're eternal. You are our Father. And you've loved us so much. You've created us out of nothing. And you're utterly faithful. You never hold back. You never fall short. You never settle for less in how you love us and how you extend to us mercy, fresh starts and new beginnings. And Lord, I thank you for the destiny that you have for us, that you invite us to share not only in the gift of being alive, of living, but of knowing you and loving you and serving you and sharing in your own divine life, sharing in the life of your Son. Thank you, Father, for your loving plan, your saving plan, your plan of goodness. It's overwhelming, Lord. Lord, I see it reflected in the beauty of your creation and the vistas that are in front of me and above me. Thank you, God, for the wonders of creation that give us the merest glimpse, the barest glimpse of your immensity, your majesty, your beauty, and your vitality, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm mindful today as I record this that you would bless America, that we would recover what is at the founding of this country. And that's a sense of honoring you, acknowledging you, and seeking to live in accord with your will and gracious purpose for our lives and for our land. And Lord, I do pray for your blessings upon America. I pray, Lord, for fervent, courageous responses from all of us faithful to be part of repairing the damage caused by our idolatry, our blasphemy, and our irreverence, that we've left you in so many ways, and we have fallen short acknowledging the blessings and protection and provision that you've given to us. Lord, please give us the grace to act and to live differently in this moment. Help us to be open to a new call, a new type of call, a new level of call in this moment. Lord, help us not to settle for a domesticated, soft way of living our faith. We don't want that, Lord. Shake us out of that lethargy. Give us the grace to live in a way that is glorifying to you and is a cry, your kingdom come. Lord, may your kingdom come. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it is great to be with you today on the 4th of July. Carrie and I were able to get away with several of our kids, not all of them, but to come away to the beautiful, beautiful spot here in central Washington called Lake Chelan. And I have a number of reflections from the time that I've had here at Lake Chelan and just for the last 2 days. But I want to begin very briefly with another reflection. This comes from what happened on Saturday and Sunday in downtown Spokane called Hoop Fest. Yes, it's a 3-on-3 tournament. It is, I think it's considered the largest in the world. It has a couple of hundred, or maybe it's even several hundred courts that are literally on the city streets of downtown Spokane. And it brings people together from all over, not just the local area and even the state, but around the country. Teams will fly in to play 3-on-3 against another, three players against three other players in a game of basketball. And I got to participate, not because I was playing, but because I was coaching my daughter Annalisa's team, which was a high school level team and involved a couple of eighth graders and going into ninth, and a couple of her and her friend ninth graders going into 10th. And they were not in the highest level. They were in that like next level, like I think it's called rec level versus competitive, something like that. In any case, she ended up winning. Yay. How about that? So her team won. It was quite a battle against this one particular team from the Lacey area of Washington. And it was so interesting. I could go on and on. I won't go on too much about it, except to say it was so interesting that teams, there are certain teams that can be very gracious and very gracious, kind and open, as long as they're winning. But as soon as they start to lose or feel the threat to lose, all of a sudden, the claws and fangs can come out and the intensity goes up and the graciousness goes away. The graciousness goes away and all of a sudden it becomes even more serious if they're behind and they can't seem to find a way to break through, to settle for ways of playing that are just not worthy, not fair, not honest. And really kind of tearing down the whole spirit of the competition. So how do I really feel? Yeah, so they ended up winning, but they ended up playing this one team twice that manifested a lot of what I just shared. And there was quite a bit of drama there. And it's such an interesting thing because sometimes we can approach life and win at all costs. Win at all costs. And that does not serve us in our spiritual life. That does not serve us in our godly life, in a life of trying to live godliness and show forth godliness to the world. We don't serve a win-at-all-costs God, that the Lord, in fact, has a way to bring about victory, but that victory is often going to be made manifest by discerning and responding in things that might, in fact, call for dying to self. Rather than strategizing, no matter the cost, the end justifies the means to get to that goal. But you think about how the Lord won the victory, how the Lord brought about the victory over sin and death, and it was by his dying he destroyed our death. It was by his dying. It wasn't by a clever strategy that he deceived the devil. No, the devil was deceived by his own attempts to cleverly think, if I destroy the Son of God, then I win. Instead of Jesus showing that a life of love that manifests godliness is a life of self-giving to the point of self-sacrifice. Well, during one of the breaks between the games of Hoopfest, I went over to the cathedral because it was only a couple of blocks away. And there was a neat banner out front, which says Catholics love Hoopfest or something like that, or we welcome Hoopfest. But I went into the church and it was empty. Actually, there was one person there. Well, two. One person was leaving. Another person was sitting. And well, I guess there's three. There was a priest in the confessional. And it was perfect timing because I got there, I guess it would have been just minutes before the priest would have left. He would have left and I would have missed the moment for confession. And so I was able to go there. I was praying and this priest is there. The person comes out of the confessional and leaves. And I, let's go. I jump in and I confess. And what was interesting to me, two things, was that I did my typical confession the way that I do. I use the Ten Commandments and I walk through them and I talk about the way that I've fallen short or settled for less and betrayed the Lord and his love by disobeying his law, right? That's what sin is. All those things that I just said, that's what sin is. And at the end, he said in two things interesting. The first was that he said, these are sins of human weakness. I thought that was so interesting to think about that. Sins of human weakness. He didn't say they weren't sins, but it wasn't about sort of like spiritual malice or deadly sins that were going to somehow sever my relationship with God, but more about the reality of human weakness. That was the first thing he said. And the second thing he said, I'll tell you in a minute. Welcome back to the program. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Why am I saying that? Well, that was the second thing the priest said to me. I'm talking about going to confession. It was during Hoopfest. There was a break in the action. I had some time between games. I'm like, hey, I'm going to sneak over to the cathedral, get some prayer time in. And sure enough, confession was going on. Yes, let's go. And went into confession. And the two things he said, first was, these are sins of human weakness. And I'd never heard that before in confession, interestingly, but it got me thinking about how do we overcome human weakness? And the second thing he said, I think, is connected here. He said, pray. He gave me a penance. And the last part of the penance was to pray that God's kingdom would come. Pray that God's kingdom would come. I bring up all of this for two reasons. The first was that we had all of these people coming from all over the country, and they were there all weekend, Saturday and Sunday, to participate in this 3-on-3 tournament. I'm sure there were a ton of Catholics there. And you know what? We missed an opportunity. The church, the big, beautiful cathedral, was just a mere two blocks away from the one edge of where all of the courts were. And yet it was empty. A huge miss. I feel like that's a huge miss for us. To be able to say to these folks, to literally walk through the midst of the folks. You had all kinds of people walking through the midst of the folks, like up and down the sidelines, like promoting some product or service or something, or handing out information or seeking signatures. Prime territory there for people to say, I know where people are going to be. I know where they're showing up. I'm going to be there and I'm going to make something known. Well, my goodness, what a great opportunity to put up a big sign and say, you got time between games? God is waiting. You got time between games? God is watching. The kids that are bouncing a ball are not the only ones on the playing field right now. You're on the playing field of your life. I don't guess you can't put all that on a banner. But just to say, to do stuff to magnetically draw people over to the cathedral, to pray, to go to confession, to talk to a priest. And who knows, maybe even make it fun. Use the parking lot there to do some kind of game where, hey, free throw contest, the winner gets $50. And, you know, you use that hook to get them out to the court. And then here are, you know, free drinks. And then here's a chance to talk to a priest or go to confession or pray in a beautiful, holy environment. And frankly, a cool environment on a hot day. So just a thought, there's me thinking for next year, looking ahead evangelistically, like, hey, how do we make the most of the fact that if you only knew where people were going to be showing up, wouldn't you want to be able to prepare for that in order to make known the heart of Christ, the face of Christ, the love of Christ, that are going to be, you know, coming in front of people who are super committed, super passionate about basketball. And honestly, for a number of these folks, it takes on a religious quality. It is a form of idolatry. It is a form of irreverence in terms of profaning the Lord's day, versus honoring the Lord. I'm not saying if you played basketball on Sunday, you were profaning the Lord's day, but I am saying that there are many who participate in these high-level sports like AAU basketball, and oftentimes tournaments will happen in a way that makes it difficult and not convenient, not set up to allow players and their parents to easily go to Mass or go to church on Sunday. So that would be a nice prophetic confrontation, in a beautiful way to say, look, there's something deeper and more important going on here than bouncing a rubber ball on the tar and shooting it into a round rim 10 feet off the ground, right? So be that as it may, I was coaching, but I went to Mass and my daughter went to Mass and we prayed, and the kids that I was with on that team, we prayed, and we attempted to manifest what it meant to live a godly life and yet to battle against opponents who are not enemies. And when you battle with opponents on a playing field, they are not your enemies, and that means you operate or you play in a way that's worthy, in a way that's noble, in a way that is acknowledging. You don't lose your godliness, your dignity, and so you don't stoop to deception and in unworthy ways of playing. So there you go. There's my little hook again. All right. So I bring that up as a way of just introducing some reflections that. And I'm going to connect them. You watch. I'm going to connect those reflections about Hoopfest and living in that moment, the call that we have in that moment to right now, as I sit here looking out on this beautiful vista, overlooking a valley across to where the lake is, to a beautiful part of the, let's call it the eastern side of the Cascade Mountains. It's a very beautiful sight. I've only been here one other time with Kerry, and that was probably 10 years ago. It's really beautiful, but we're not on the lake. Our friends have a house on the lake, and a few of our younger kids were staying with them. We're up here at an Airbnb about 10 minutes or so away from the lake, and honestly, waking up in the morning, going out the front door, sitting and just looking at the beauty of creation and the stillness of creation. It's gorgeous. And not only that, but no clouds in the sky the first day, barely a cloud in the sky, just the wisp of clouds today. And the valley is below us, the mountain range in front of us, but across the valley, across the lake, it is so peaceful and it's so still. And at night under the heavens, it's wide open here and you're far enough away from city lights that the spectacle, the wonder of the stars in the sky and just like the breath of the extent of the sky that you can see it's really wondrous. It's awesome. But there's a but. However, there's a noise. There's a noise, and even right now as I'm recording, there's a noise. And it's hard to pinpoint what the noise actually is. When Kerry and I were sitting outside the first morning, it was like, is that a highway? Because if you have ever lived at, maybe a mile or so distant from a highway, like I-90, you can hear like the traffic. You know what I'm talking about. You can hear the traffic on the road, and you could be in the middle of a beautiful, peaceful scene, but then there's that noise that's in the background that's just there. But there's no highway here, so it's not that. But we could tell the direction it was coming in. And it's like, okay, well, what is that? And couldn't really see it. Couldn't really tell. And here's the thing. We could come out and sit and take and gaze upon the wonder of creation and the peace and stillness of this beautiful environment and just simply enjoy it. But as soon as we become more aware and focused on the fact that there is that, let's call it background noise, and now all of a sudden it intrudes to the front of our lives, we begin to realize that, I'm going to use a word here that has a spiritual meaning as well, but I'm going to use a word that is a way of describing this noise in this environment. It's noise pollution. It's a pollution. It's polluting the peace and stillness of this location, of our sitting and wondering. And the interesting thing is that on the one hand, it doesn't have an impact. You can just sit and enjoy and talk and visit and take it in. But as soon as you attempt to be still, as soon as you quiet down enough and say, I'm going to now focus on the Lord, then all of a sudden, that noise that was in the background, when you stop other things, that noise comes forward. And it's polluting the ability to be still and know that I am God. And it's interesting because there's another version of this. I mentioned that Carrie and I, we're about 10 minutes away from the lakefront. We're staying in an Airbnb, but it's not like an Airbnb we've ever stayed in before. It's actually an RV, Airbnb, or whatever it is. It's an RV. And we've never done that before. And there's something that Carrie and I came to experience in our staying in this RV with our two sons and a friend of theirs who's also with us. He's at Nikai. They're at one end. We're at the other end of this RV. We are not an RV family. That is not our gift. I know there are people who, man, they camp and they've got an RV and they pull it around and they're just, you know, happy. Should I say it? Happy campers. We are not the happy camper family. Looks nice in the photos. It's certainly less expensive, but there is, I don't know, let's just call it an odor. And it's just the odor, it's not, here's the thing, it's not dominant. It's in the background. It's in the background. And if you just come in and you're chatting and you're maybe just like making some lunch or you're visiting a little bit, you don't really notice it. But when you stop and you stop other things and you just sit in the RV, all of a sudden, that which is in the background comes back out into the surface. It shows back up on the surface because you've slowed down and stopped the other activities. Okay, track with me now. There are things that happen in our lives. No, that are happening in our lives. There are aspects of our lives that we live with day to day. We settle for day to day. We don't really think about or acknowledge day to day because they're operating in the background. But here we go. Carrie and I, we got away for a bit of vacation. Carrie came out Tuesday early afternoon. I came out Tuesday night, got here late at night. And being here Wednesday and Thursday, and then we're going to head back on Friday, tomorrow. It's a vacation. Now, it's short, but it's still a vacating, a leaving. We're leaving behind the ordinary things that can fill our days and that can make us be so crowded with the stuff of our day-to-day lives that, guess what? the background noise that's polluting, the background odors that are off-putting, that are part of our lives, we're not aware of them. But in vacating, in coming apart, in stepping away, we get a chance to reflect and pay attention to things that aren't so obvious in the midst of our day-to-day lives. All right. What are those things, Tom? What are the kinds of things that can show up when we're willing to step apart in order to reflect and pay more attention to things that are hidden and lurking in the background? Just stop and hear that, please. There are things in your life that are background noise. There are things in your life that are background impacting you from being able to live with the peace and the stillness, with the joy and the enjoyment that the Lord has for you and for me and for our families and for our relationships. But they're obscured by the busyness. They're obscured by the activities. They're obscured by the burden of the day-to-day. And so I am saying, yes, it's important to step apart, but I'm not only talking about leave your home and your town and go on vacation. I'm talking about a different kind of activity. I'm talking about stepping away from the ordinary activities of your day-to-day life, even if that means stepping away one day a week for the Lord's day. You might have heard, I interviewed Father Lawrence Kearney. It aired on Wednesday, and he talked about he started to set apart the day of the Lord and held it in reserve for the Lord. He talked about doing this in the seminary and how he didn't study, and he held it in reserve for the Lord. And it ended up being a source of blessing. Things were revealed to him that he wouldn't have known because he set it apart. He stepped apart from, and it cast a light upon the way that he was living day to day. So that might simply be something that each of us can put into practice every single week on the Lord's day. And frankly, honestly, how about every single day with some good prayer time? Some time that we hold in reserve for the Lord. Our first and most important and most fundamental relationship is with God. So to nurture that relationship in prayer, first thing, give good amount of time to the Lord in quiet prayer or other types of prayer, but types of prayer that are going to allow the things that are in the background of your life to come forward. Okay. With all that said, there is an importance as well to stepping apart for a day of prayer, a retreat weekend, a more extended retreat, or yes, a vacation. I was with Sister Eucharista from Immaculate Heart Retreat Center, and she talked about, this is a perennial theme, the importance of stepping apart in order to allow the deeper things to come to the surface. I'll be back in a minute to continue. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and today I'm talking about the importance of stepping back from ordinary activities or the burden of the day-to-day activities to allow the Lord to bring out into the open and bring into our awareness things that are operating in our lives that are holding us back, that are polluting our ability to sense the Lord's presence and power, and in fact may be missing a deeper invitation from the Lord to a more decisive way of living. Ooh, did you hear that? God, your kingdom come. That was, again, from my penance at my confession during Hoop Fest when I went to confession on Sunday. It was Saturday afternoon. And so to be able to step apart and say, Lord, I don't want the background pollution in my life that is bringing an odor of death into my life that's diminishing me. I don't want those things, Lord. I want to live more decisively. Lord, I want to hear your voice. And maybe I can do that if I step away from ordinary activity. So this happened for Carrie and me. So we came out to Lake Chelan, as I mentioned to you, on Tuesday night. And there's a dear couple that we've known for almost 25 years. We've known them, and they are evangelical Christians, dear sister and brother in Christ. They have a tremendous heart for the Catholic faith. And in fact, they operate, their like sphere of influence in the body of Christ is worldwide. They routinely are getting together with ambassadors of nations, routinely getting together with Christian leaders who are the most prominent, visible, and influential in the country, and in literally around the world. They host events and fly to events, again, around the world that are highly impactful to doing big things for God. And so that's them. And here they are in Chelan. They moved here a few years ago. And when we knew we were coming, we were like, oh, Carrie's like, you should reach out to them. Let's see if we can get together. And so reached out last week, said, hey, we're going to be here. And they're like, great, come on by. So we got to spend a few hours with them, two and a half hours with them on Wednesday morning. And it was a huge gift. It was a beautiful gift to be able to spend that time with them. And I talk about, okay, how is the Lord going to bring things that are in the background of our lives to the forefront? How's the Lord going to do that for you? How's he going to make us aware and give us that sensitivity to things that may in fact be polluting our vision, might be obscuring the voice of the Lord for our lives? Well, one of the ways to do that, one of the ways of having that happen is through conversations with, let's call them, angels sent from God, messengers that God brings into your circle that will be for you a place to maybe hear something that will disrupt your ordinary way of looking at things. You see, when we stay in the daily grind of our lives, it is so easy to just stay in that same circle of thinking, that same circle of conversation, the same habitual ways of approaching things. And it takes an outside disruption of that typical pattern to get us to consider something that might be not on our radar screen at all. And so we had a wonderfully rich conversation where they had a chance to share about what was going on in their lives and asked us about what was going on in our lives. And one of the things that they really made known to us was their age and stage of life. They're older than we are by 15 years. And they were in that stage firmly where their heart is really for their grandchildren. You know, they've raised their children. Their children are in godly marriages, but their children have moved away. And they are in Chelan in a location that they were hoping would be a magnetic gathering place for their kids and grandkids. So their attempt was, we really are striving to provide a place for our kids and our grandkids to be able to come and be with us. And in fact, maybe even have them stay and live themselves, you know, in a space that was large enough for them to potentially build homes and all of that. But it hasn't worked out that way. And it was a sincere sharing with us about a point of reflection regarding, did we hear from the Lord or not? Did we get ahead of God in terms of the way that we went about what we did? So did we do what God was wanting or what we wanted? And the second question is, if we did what God wanted, did we go about it in the way that he wanted? Or did we step in and take over? Now, that for us was beautiful and profound to hear, even as it was sort of humbling and painful for them to share. But I love their honesty and their transparency to be able to share a wrestling with the Lord. Like, all right, Lord, what was the purpose? What was the purpose of all of this? Because the reasons for which we're here aren't really working out in the way that we intended, in the goal that we had in mind when we sought you. And so how do we now step forward into our next step? Well, unbeknownst to them, this is definitely like a heart and soul central conversation that Carrie and I continue to have around our lives with our kiddos, right? So here we are. We made this move to be in Spokane Valley, 5 years ago almost. And our question is, we want our kids to be able to discern their vocation, and for those that are married, to be able to find a spouse and want to end up in this area, the Spokane to Coeur d'Alene corridor. And it's so interesting because there is not as much of an attachment to this area as they have to the west side, because those were the tender years where they grew up. And so I know that there are many grandparents or parents who now have kids that are getting married and grandkids are coming soon. And that is your heart. Your heart is to be able to not just enjoy, but to support and encourage and influence and help your kids to grow and flourish now as parents of kids, and also to give you that grace of fulfilling a vocation to be grandparents and loving your kids and helping their faith, the faith of your grandkids, to be able to be nurtured and to grow. And so Carrie and I have been very blessed to be able to step apart from the heaviness of just dealing with day-to-day activities to be able to come out here and say, wait a minute, maybe in fact we need to see if there is a deeper voice that the Lord is trying to bring out into the open for our lives, a more decisive call that he has for us that we don't want to miss out on. One of the things that showed up was, again, they're 10, 15 years older than we are, and it was like, health is such an issue. And you don't have total guarantee over your health. And so doing the important work of caring for your health is so critical if you're going to use your time fruitfully. That was one big takeaway for me. Another one, and this was one of Carrie's big takeaways, was how do you want to spend the time that remains? How do you want to spend the time of your life that remains, that's given to you in these older years? And what has become plain and apparent to Carrie in just a couple of days of being out here is that she finds very enriching a use of time that has a purpose beyond just having fun, just being on vacation. As enjoyable as that can be, for her, it's like, you know what? Okay, check the box. Now, can't we do something that has a greater purpose and greater meaning to it? And so that has been another reflection. And so I stop and I think, and I'm like, okay, that is one whole area of things that are in the background that came out into the open as a result of this conversation. A second one came out of a walk that Carrie and I had. We got up on the 4th of July, and our tradition, our custom, is to go to Mass. And it was just us, and it was the friends that we're with, from the valley that have a house here, and nobody else. So I guess the Mass was not going to happen today, and so we missed out on that. So Carrie's like, well, let's take a walk. So she and I went and took a couple of laps around and had a fascinating conversation, which led to another insight that went from the background. What is it? I'll tell you in a minute. Welcome back to the program. All right, so there are things that are happening in the background of your awareness, in the background of your heart, in your spirit, that may in fact be weighing you down and holding back going deeper into your relationship with the Lord. One of the gifts of stepping away from the ordinary activities of daily lives is that we'll become more aware. We'll become aware in a fresh way of insights into dynamics that are going on in our lives or things that are happening within our hearts. One way to do that is through having a fresh conversation with insightful people of God, like Carrie and I had a chance to do on Wednesday morning. On Thursday morning, Carrie and I got to have a fresh kind of conversation because our context was different. We were away now on vacation. We didn't have to rush back for this or that activity. It was, let's just take a walk together and let's just talk about, here we are on vacation, what's showing up for us? What's manifesting itself in our hearts, in our minds, in our emotions, in our memories that maybe wouldn't happen if we were in a circumstance where the burdens of daily life would just crowd those things out. Well, that happened on the walk. So on the walk, Carrie and I are walking along, and there are a bunch of families that were there, different, you know, what, mom and a dad with a bunch of kids or a few kids and that we saw, and all kinds of different kind of groupings. And one particular grouping was a mom with three little girls and on these tiny little bikes. It was really cute. And as we walked away, Carrie, she had this emotion. She wasn't crying, but she had this emotion within her that was connected to her memory. And remember now, memory is that capacity that we have, one of our fundamental capacities of our souls, to make the past present in a way that's effective, that's real. So there's a dimension of the reality of the past that comes to be present through our memory. And Carrie had this sense of looking at these little girls. She smiled, but she said, I'm feeling sad. And so there was a sadness that manifested itself. But you know that movie Inside Out? And so now the Inside Out 2 is in the theaters, and it's like all these emotions that are happening inside this girl based on her circumstances. And then the emotion pushes itself forward, or I don't know, something like that. Well, one emotion that pushed itself forward was sadness. And it was like, you know, I miss those days. They were simpler. The kids were so innocent. And even though there was more work to do, it was less stressful. It was easier. Even though there was more constant work, it was, there was just like less at stake, less burdens. So there was a bit of sadness that showed up that came from the background out into the open. The second was a sense of regret. Like, did we miss an opportunity? Could we have done more? Could we have done better? Where did we fall short as a mother and a father to these little girls and little boys? But it was just seeing those little girls. So those emotions that are alive in us all of a sudden now start getting permission and having space to pushing themselves out into the open. But there were other emotions as well that pushed themselves out onto the surface. The first was gratitude. Gratitude for the many, many memories of just fun, celebrations, joyful events, little things and big things that involved opportunities just to lovingly care for and interact and nurture your children. And so there was that smile of gratitude as well. And then what also happened was interesting was that memory works with hope. I don't know if you knew that in the spiritual life, in the Catholic approach to the spiritual life, memory and hope, like, are two wings. They work together, right? Because memory is you're living well in the present in the light of your past. Like, let that past come effectively present and let it impact how you're living in the present. But hope is pointing you to the future, to the promises that will be fulfilled. And so the future is coming towards the present and has its impact on the present. And so there's a hope there. And so hope makes the past. So if memory makes the past effectively present, then hope is about living towards and welcoming the future in the present. And so it was so interesting because it then led us to be talking about our kids. And it was like, okay, this is who our kids are now. And we went from that conversation the day before where we're talking about where are our kids headed and where do we want them to go and how do we help them to get there to avoid that sense of a regret or a sadness. No, let's live really well and richly in the present towards a future fulfillment that is, in fact, glorious and godly. And so it was a really interesting thing. Another conversation that we had with another couple that was here is that they talked a bit about this. They were saying, you know, and we look at our kids and where we lived on the West Side, we would look around at the families that were around us and we said, who has raised kids that when we look at them, we say, that's what I want my kid to be like. And what was interesting and maybe a bit striking was that, you know, we couldn't really find any families that had raised kids in such a way that we said to ourselves, I hope my boy turns out like that. I hope my girl turns out like that. Yeah, obviously, it's not exactly, you know, we're not talking about replicas, but we're talking about embodying a certain spirit, a certain ideal, a certain, goodness and godliness. And what was humbling and gratifying and so very like pleasing was that the wife gave us probably, you know, just such a beautiful compliment when she said, you know, that's what we said when we lived there, but living here and interacting with your kids, that's what we want our kids to be like. And obviously they're not talking about every dimension and every aspect, but referencing the kindness, the quickness to serve, the beautiful, sweet spirit of interacting with younger kids in a way that's fun and free and enjoyable and not, you know, just losing themselves in phones and other types of just fun, enjoyable, life-giving qualities about the kiddos. And it's like, yes. And it's like, that's something to celebrate and to acknowledge in the present, that as much as we can feel a sense of sadness over a past stage or regret over the things that we didn't do, let's be grateful to the Lord for what he did do and grateful that it is shining in a certain way, at least to some degree, a brightness that is a blessing to other people, to other parents and kids. So thanks be to God for that. And so I think Carrie and I are the kind of people where while we want to acknowledge the goodness that we see, we also see the gap of how much further there is to go. And it's an interesting thing to stop and say, do you focus on the goodness that's there? Or do you focus on the gift that's there or the gap that still remains? And the answer is both. You want to see yes, both. Well, last comment, and I'm going to just mention it in passing in the last couple of minutes that I have and share it this way. Okay, how do we get some of those things that are in the background to be no longer polluting, but actually allowing for a big shift, a big change? You know, use that word disruption, right? If you want to get a disruptive change. In order to get a disruptive change, sometimes, at least at times, you know, often, it requires a bigger decision on the part of the follower of Christ. Do something disruptive, something that will change my course to change your course in a decisive way. And so Carrie and I talked about it. It was so interesting. And I'm still thinking and praying and talking with her about this, about, all right, Lord, I'm sensing that in the background is not only polluting things that are holding back a sense of clear voice of God, but there is a voice of the Lord coming forward that is saying, I want to do something more decisive in you, and now is the time. But in order to get to that next decisive place, I'm going to ask of you a more decisive action. It's sort of like the rich young man who encounters Christ and he says, what must I do to be saved and inherit eternal life and follow all the commandments and love the Lord your God? And he says, I'm doing all of those things. And then he says, well, if you'd be perfect, do what? Sell all your belongings and come follow me. And then he went away sad because he had many possessions. He was possessed by them. He wasn't really free. And it's almost like that. It's like, Lord, you know, I'm striving to serve you and love you and follow the commandments. But Lord, hey, if I want to be perfect, if I want to move in this next stage, in this next moment in my life, what more? And so say a prayer for me, if you would. And I say, share that with you because maybe that's something that you can think about as well. Is there for you something bigger, something more that the Lord would have you do? You never know. Well, not you never know. You actually can know. And in fact, we ought to know. And in fact, let's go further. The Lord wants to reveal it to us. And it's one of those, I think one of those realities that, again, can stay in the background. And we want to bring it out front and center. And that is, are we willing to dare? Are we willing to risk? Are we willing to even be open to consider that the Lord might be asking of us something that is decisive and different that will get us to that next place? I'm seriously thinking about this. I'm seriously praying. And it's like, okay, Lord, I say yes. Let's just start at the beginning. Lord, I say yes in advance to whatever it is you're asking of me. And Lord, I say yes to an opportunity, a door you're giving to me that might require of me something extraordinary in terms of an action. So for instance, if I were to ever do the full 30-day Ignatian spiritual exercises, well, when can I possibly do that? Well, I'm paying attention to the signs of what the Lord is having happen in my life right now, and I'm thinking, you know what? If the Lord is asking this of me, he's going to take care of me. He'll take care of my family. He'll take care of the things that are going on, and he'll provide. He'll provide for my family, and he'll provide for me. And yet, I also have to be prudent. I have to use my reason and have to do the research to inform the discernment, right? So this is the kind of thing that I'm helping families with as a real estate agent, helping them to discern, like, should we move or should we stay? And if we move, where should we go? And if we go to a certain place, what kind of house should we buy and where should it be? And where's going to be the right community for us to hang to move into, the right parish, the right school, or right educational path, right? These are huge, so much at stake decisions. And on top of that, they often are calling for, like, radical generosity of spirit and radical trust that if they made a decision that was extraordinary to uproot and to move, that, you know what, the Lord's going to take care of us. The Lord's going to bless us. He's going to walk with us. He's going to help us get there. And I honestly try to be part of, like, that, the angel sent from God, part of that sense of saying the Lord is with you and he will give you what you need to be able to do that. Well, now it's time to look in the mirror, for me to look in the mirror and say, all right, Lord, what are you asking of me right now? What are you calling forth from my life right now? And I don't know, it's a kind of an adventure, but there is a bit of a, really? Is this really going to happen? So I don't know, maybe the 8-day Ignatian retreat that's coming up at Immaculate Heart Retreat Center, right? So those are the things that I'll be praying and thinking about. God bless.